God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. When years of time shall pass away and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray, on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong. Redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels song. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song.
Thank you, Brother Stone, for singing this morning. If you have your Bible, open to the book of Acts chapter 17. I have been this summer on Sunday mornings, the summer of 17, preaching out of different chapter 17s in the Bible. And so this morning we're in Acts chapter 17. Of course, folks, those of you who are visiting with us, we are quite out of the ordinary this morning as far as our order of service and everything. This is entirely different than it would normally be. Usually, of course, the decorations aren't here. Our choir sings and we have more congregational singing. But we did this on purpose today for the VBS Sunday. And I kind of like it, really. It was very nice to come into the auditorium, sit where you sit for a while, and just let somebody else do it. Amen. So we may do this in the future, but I do want to speak this morning and to speed things up a little bit. I want to just go ahead and read just a couple of verses. Usually we would stand together and so forth, but let me just read a couple of verses here. If you don't have a Bible, just listen as I read, beginning with verse number 29. If you have a Bible, you can follow along. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commendeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day, notice that, in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Now we're going to go to more verses in this passage I want to speak to you this morning on the gospel goes to Athens. The gospel goes to Athens. Let's pray together. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to be in church this morning and for the opportunity these last 3 or 4 days to have Vacation Bible School. We're grateful for every young lady, every young man, child, boy, girl that rode the bus to our Vacation Bible School or that came by way of vehicle. We're glad to have the opportunity to have fun with them and to preach to them about the Lord Jesus Christ and His great love for us, as we just heard in song. Now, Father, fill us with power. Speak to both listener and speaker today. May You help us in this service. We give it to You. God, have Your way. In Jesus' name, and amen. The Apostle Paul was a great missionary evangelist. He won many souls to Christ. He helped start and plant several churches on his missionary journeys. Acts 17 is part of his second missionary journey, and Athens was his first stop in the country of Achaia. Now, he previously had been in the country of Macedonia. He had been to the cities of Philippi and Thessalonica and Berea. And in all those cities, Paul had seen people convert to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he took the same message to the city of Athens. And brother, I want to tell you something. When he went to Athens, he had his work cut out for him in this populated, cultured city. Athens, you know this, was located in the country of Greece. And even though Greece was no longer the world power, Greek culture still influenced much of the known world at this time. Rome had conquered Greece, followed Greece as the current world power. Paul himself was a Roman citizen. People spoke Greek. Greek art and Greek literature were famous. And Athens was one of Greece's main cities, if not the main city in the country of Greece. You could say that it was also the most philosophical city in the world at that time. And it was also an idolatrous city. It encouraged the worship of just about every god, little g god, or little g goddess that can be created by the imagination of men. If you have a Bible, look at verse number 16 in chapter 17. Verse number 16 says, "Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry, completely turned over to idols." People, nearly every building in the city of Athens was dedicated to some god or some goddess. Now, they served as other purposes, but they also served as temples dedicated to some false god. Let me give you some for instances. The Hall of Records was a temple. It was a public building, but it was a temple dedicated to the mother of the gods. The council house, which was where the city council met, was a temple dedicated to Apollos and Jupiter. The theater was dedicated to the god of indulgence. That's a good place for a god of indulgence, named Bacchus. There was the Acropolis, which was a building that was housed a collection of sculptures of many different deities. It was given to idolatry, like the Bible says, wholly given to idolatry. Philosophers abounded in the city. Socrates, his home was Athens. Plato, his home was Athens. It was the adopted home of Aristotle, of Epicurus, and of Zeno. So this idolatrous city, and into this city, the city of Athens, God sent a preacher missionary carrying the message of truth to the people who lived in the city of Athens. I'll show you three things about it. We'll be done this morning. First of all, I want to talk about Athens' quandary. Athens' quandary. Look at verse number 16 again. The Bible says the city was wholly given to idolatry. So here was an idolatrous city. And you know what's interesting? It was a religious city. So how can you have religion and idolatry in the same place? That's what Athens was. Athens was a religious city, and Athens' quandary. You know what a quandary is? A state of uncertainty. a state of perplexity. You say, Pastor Angel, what was Athens' quandary? Their quandary was their religion. Because there were so many gods and so many goddesses that could be worshipped. Which one was the true one? Whichever one that you wanted to be the true one. And that presented a terrible state of uncertainty, a terrible state of perplexity. And that's what made Paul's spirit so burn within him. Verse 16 says, his spirit was stirred within him. The reason for that, folks, is Paul had been a religious man. Paul knew what it was to be confused by religion. I told somebody yesterday that a lot of times, oftentimes, religion blinds people to truth. Religion is man-made. In fact, folks, search the Bible. You'll find that the word religious and religion, I think, in all the Bible is only used 7 times. And about 5 of those times, it's in a negative sense. Religion blinds people to the truth of God's Word. And Paul had been a religious man. He had been blinded to the truth. So when he's in this city that's wholly given to idolatry, and he sees temples and altars dedicated to this God or this God or this goddess or this group of gods, he understands what's happening in the city of Athens. Here you've got a whole city full of people that is in a quandary. In fact, the Bible says, look at verse number 23. He says, "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God." So here is an altar, and on this altar there is an inscription carved in stone, to the unknown God. What are they saying? In other words, there might be other gods out there that we don't know about yet, and we don't want to leave them out, so we're going to dedicate this altar to the unknown gods. Somebody said it was easier to find a god in Athens than it was to find a man. So many religions, so many gods, so many goddesses, all these different things being worshipped. Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. Now, I wouldn't say that in America we are, you know, it's apples to apples. But I'm going to tell you this. We live in a country with a ton of religions. We live in a country with all kinds of religious people. I mean, I talk to lots of folks. You know, we've got church-going people, and we've got people who will tell you, "Oh, I've believed in God all my life." And then we've got people that say, "Well, I've got a Bible." And you've got people that say, "You know, I worship God my own way." And we've got praying people, and we've got all kinds of people who believe, you know, well, we're all going to end up in the same place some way anyway, so it doesn't matter. There's all kinds of religions. I could go on and on about the kinds of religions here in America. You know what religion does? It just kind of leaves it open to man's choice of who or what he wants to worship. And that puts a lot of people in a quandary. Who do I believe? Do I believe this guy? Do I believe that guy? Do I believe this preacher? Do I believe this person? Do I believe this movement? What do I believe? The quandary. Athens was in a tremendous quandary because there were so many gods, so many goddesses, so much unknown, and they didn't know what to believe. That was their quandary. Now, I want you to see number 2 this morning. I want you to see Athens' curiosity. Look at verse number 19. Now, Paul's in this city. Look at verse number 19. "They take him, and they took him, and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is." The Bible says they took Paul to the Areopagus. Now, why would they take him there? Listen carefully. The Areopagus was the place where the Supreme Court of Athens convened. It would be like the Supreme Court building in Washington, D.C., where the Supreme Court justices of the United States of America convened to decide on civil matters. And that's what the Areopagus was. There wasn't 9, there were 30 members. 30 members of the council, the Supreme Court Council of Athens. And they would gather at Areopagus. And they were there also to decide civil matters. Listen to this. They were there on occasion to protect the city from false religions. Now, that's hilarious to me. If you've got gods and goddesses by the dozens, and they did, if it was easier to find a god in Athens than it was to find a man, what did you need to protect the people from? I mean, there's all kinds of gods, all kinds of religions. But that's what they did. Now, Paul, why did they take Paul there? Because for days, Paul had been preaching to the people that Jesus Christ was the only way to heaven. He had been preaching that Jesus Christ had died, had buried, and been and had risen again, and that through His resurrection, through His death, burial, and resurrection, you could be saved and go to heaven. Look at verse number 18. Look what he was saying. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered Him, and some said, "What will this babbler say?" Others, some said, "He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." Look at verse 20. "Thou bringest certain strange things to our ears, and we would know, therefore, what these things mean." They said, "Paul, we've never heard this before. You're talking about, watch what, you're talking about a God that not only died, but He came back to life. You're talking about a God who rose from the dead. What kind of strange talk is this? We've not heard anything like this before. It's time to go to the Areopagus." And so the 30 members of the council, the Supreme Court council, assembled up there on the Areopagus in the middle of Mars Hill, and they brought Paul up there, and they said, "Okay, bud, it's your stage, it's your time. Talk to us about this. We've never heard this before." So in this city full of idolatry, Paul was pointing people to Jesus Christ. And Paul began to preach to these people that the Lord Jesus Christ was the only way to heaven. That through His death, burial, and resurrection, people had to be saved. That He was the Jewish Messiah. That there's only one God, Jehovah God. That His Son was named Jesus Christ. That He's the Jewish Messiah. That salvation is in Him. And because these were curious people, when it came to religion, they brought Paul up there and turned the stage over to him. So you got Athens' quandary. Their quandary, their perplexity. This is they've got all these gods and goddesses by the hundreds that they could worship and follow. Their curiosity was when they started hearing Paul preach about this God they'd never heard about before. They were curious. They wanted to know more about Him. So they take Paul up to Mars Hill. And number three, I want you to see this morning, Athens' opportunity. Look at verse number 29. You got Athens' quandary. You got Athens' curiosity. You get to verse number 29. You got Athens' opportunity. Look what Paul told them. "For as much then as we are the offspring of God." Stop right there. He's talking to human beings. He's not preaching to cows and donkeys and pigs and cats. All right? He's preaching to humans. "We are the offspring of God." What's he saying there? We are made in the image of God. Man is made, folks, that cow over there. And God bless cows because I like steaks. Don't you? Amen. All right. But that cow is not made in the image of God. Okay. That pig over there, and yes, I like pork chops. I like pulled pork. Amen. So nothing wrong with that. My father-in-law raised his family, you know, raising pigs out there in Iowa. But that pig is not made in the image of God. That pig has a body. That's all he has. Man is a trichotomy. Body, soul, and spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. We are made in the image of God. That's what he's saying to these people. He says, because we're made in the image of God, look at it, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. We're not a piece of gold. We're not a piece of silver. We're not carved out of a rock. Although I have seen some folks that I thought maybe could have fit that definition. Amen. We're not carved out of a rock. We're not the creation of some man's art. So if we are if we're made in the image of God and we're not a piece of stone, if we're made in the image of God and we're not a piece of gold or silver, why are you worshiping sculptures cut out of rocks? Why are you worshiping people, statues of gold and statues of silver? We don't worship a God like that. We don't work. God is not a rock. God is not a stoic statue that can't hear. Hey, sir, in the audience, I'm Paul preaching. Can you hear? You're made in the image of God. God can hear. Hey, can you speak? You're made in the image of God. God can speak. Hey, do you have a heart with emotion? You're made in the image of God because God loves. We just heard a great song about that. Okay, that piece of rock has no feeling. That piece of rock can't hear. How many of you? I don't have time this morning. How many of you even remember the story of Brother Caleb starting that church up there with up in DeKalb, and they went by Sycamore, and they had that idol, and he and somebody went in, that might have been Rich Montgomery, went in that temple, and the priest was putting the god to sleep. When Caleb and the guy came in the room, the man turned around and said, "Shh, shh." So what are you doing? We're putting so-and-so to their god, putting their god to sleep. That's not in Athens. That's not in India. That was right up here outside of DeKalb, Illinois. I would hate to think that I would have to tuck my god into bed. In fact, my Bible says my God never sleeps. That's a good thing because I might need help at 2 o'clock in the morning. And I think Caleb said to him, he said, "What do you all do in the morning?" He said, "We come in here and wake him up." It was all Brother Caleb could do to keep from laughing in the guy's face. And this is what Paul is saying. Why are you worshiping a rock? Why are you worshiping a piece of silver? You're not made out of silver. You got ears. You got a tongue. You got a heart. You can think. We're made in the image of God. And look what he said in verse number 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at. That's interesting. Listen up here. What's he saying? He's not, let me tell you what he's not saying. He's not saying, "Hey, you're stupid." Listen, folks, there is a difference in being ignorant and stupid. Ignorant means you've never heard. You didn't know. Stupid means you knew and did it anyway. And he said, the times of this ignorance, God winked at. What's he saying? He said, God's kind of overlooked your ignorant worship. God's not judged you. Are you listening? God's not judged you. He's not dropped the hammer on you because you've been worshiping some dead piece of rock instead of the true living God. But God has winked at it. He's overlooked it. He's had mercy on you because you did it ignorantly. Do you remember Paul's testimony about being a Jew caught up in religion? He said, "I did it ignorantly. In unbelief." There was a day when Paul didn't even understand the true message of Christ. And Paul told these people, "God in mercy has overlooked this. He's not dropped the hammer of judgment on you because you were ignorant." But then I want you to notice what he said next. Are you with me? Look at what he said next. But now. Now. Commandeth all men everywhere to repent. He said, folks, now. People, what's he been doing? He's been preaching the truth. He's been preaching eternal life is through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. God is not a piece of stone. God is not a piece of gold or silver. God is a living, loving, living God whose Son Jesus came to this earth to take your sins to the cross. He died bearing your sins in His own body at the cross. He was buried and He rose again. You did not know that. You've not heard that. You've been worshiping pieces of wood and stone. But now, you've heard the truth. Now you've heard the truth. And do you know what God doesn't ask? The word is what, folks? Commandeth. Now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. You know what Paul's message was? Okay, you know what? God's had mercy on you. Okay, God's overlooked your worship of these false dead gods because you didn't know. But now you've heard. Now you've been exposed to truth. And what God says you need to do now is repent. You say, "Brother Angel, Pastor, what's that mean?" Can I simplify it for you this morning? What that means is, Ignorantly, they had been worshiping a piece of wood. Ignorantly, they had been worshiping a rock. Ignorantly, they had been worshiping an idol of gold or silver. Or if they hadn't chosen a god, they went to the stone that was the unknown god and had been worshiping that. And Paul said, now you've heard the truth about the one true and living and loving God with a son named Jesus who died, was buried, rose again so that you could be saved. You need to turn from all of that and trust Jesus. That's repentance. Repentance is not just a change of mind. I can change my mind about worshiping that piece of wood without embracing Jesus. Repentance is I turn my back on the false worship that I've been involved in and I engage and embrace the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus as my only hope of heaven. And that's what God tells them. He said, now you've heard the truth. Now you know the truth. Now you've been exposed to it. You've been following some dead religion, been following some false god, been following a dead religion of works. You turn from that and you embrace the message of Christ. You receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And here's why you need to do it. Watch verse number 31. Watch it now. Because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge. You see, you couple that with what He said earlier. Earlier He said, hey, God has overlooked your ignorance. God has had mercy on you, but now you've been exposed to the truth. And if you reject it, the end result is there's going to be a day when God is going to judge the world. And there will be no mercy. And there will be no opportunity to be saved. So you better embrace Jesus Christ right now. And look what He said, folks. This is powerful. Just to make sure that they understood which man, which God would judge the world, which would be judged by that man whom He hath ordained. Who is that? Whereof He hath given assurance unto all men in that He hath raised Him from the dead. Who was raised from the dead? Jesus Christ. There's no mistaking it. No mistaking it. Every person, look, I'm almost done. We're in good shape. I was concerned about the time, but the Lord's helped us move it along. Listen, every person is going to be judged someday by what you did with Jesus Christ. You're not going to be judged by whether you were baptized. You're not going to be judged by whether you were a church member. You're not going to be judged by how many good deeds you tried to do. You're going to be judged by one thing. What did you do with the Lord Jesus Christ who went to the cross, died, was buried, and rose again for your sins? What did you do with Him? Did you turn from everything and everybody else and trust Christ? Or did you hang on and just try to add Jesus to everything else? I'm going to try to do good. I'm going to get baptized and I'm going to join two or three churches and I'm going to add Jesus right in here. I'm going to cover all the bases. That's not repentance. Repentance is turning from all that stuff and saying Jesus and Jesus only. Jesus and Jesus only. Now I want to show you what happened, folks. He gives them the message. Look at verse number 32. He gives them the message, verse number 32. And when they had heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. That's a bunch of junk. Yeah, rose from the dead. Ha, 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 it's funny. What did they do with Christ? Rejected Him. Look at verse number 34. Howbeit certain men clave unto Him and believed. What did they do? They received Christ. But hold it, there's another group. Look back at verse number 32. Some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. What did they say? Not now. Not yet. Not now. I'll hear you, folks, listen to me. If you read on here, in verse number 1 of chapter 18, after these things, Paul departed from Athens. We're never told if they ever heard the Apostle Paul preach again. Some rejected, some received, and others said, not now. Which is horribly dangerous. Horribly dangerous. Because to this point in time, God had had mercy on them. Watch me. Now they were exposed to the truth, and by not acting on it, they put themselves in a position where if they died without Christ, God would have to judge them as a lost sinner. That's heavy stuff. Most of you know our son Ben over in Madagascar, and they have been missionaries there. They have a village ministry about an hour north of Antananarivo. In Madagascar, the main religion is animism. They worship the spirits of their dead ancestors. I won't go into all they do. Children and teenagers are very open to the gospel message. By the way, I will say this in a minute. It's good to have Josh's mother here this morning from Palau, the island of Palau, and another helper from their church there, Elaine, island of Palau. And I don't know what the main religion is over there, but in Madagascar, it's animism, where they worship the spirits of their dead ancestors. The children and the teenagers respond to the gospel message, but adults are very standoffish. They're very suspicious. They've been going out to that village. I went out there and preached when I visited Ben over in the country. I preached to about 8 adults while some other of the men preached to the teenagers and children. I preached to about 8 or 10 adults. And I gave the gospel. I gave the message of salvation. Nobody responded. They were getting a little bit discouraged because week after week they would have teenagers and kids saved, but the adults were just standoffish. And you might read this in his letter if you look at it out there. Here a few Saturdays ago, they were preaching. And they were preaching, Ben said it was obvious as they were preaching that the adults were getting it. And they gave the invitation. 16 adults came to Christ that morning in that service and trusted the Lord. 16 of them. The light came on and they responded. If you're here this morning and you've been following some religion of dead works, or trying to do the best you can, or trying to, you know, find which God is it, which way. Do not buy the line. Well, we all end up at the same place anyway. That's not true. Maybe you've been following some dead works or some false god, or just trying to figure out which way is the right way, and you've heard this morning, or you heard this week, or you heard somebody at work talk to you about Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. And if your heart says this is it, this is right, please don't reject Him. And please don't say not now. Please trust Christ. While you've got your mind, your thought processes, while God is dealing with you, give your heart to Christ. To save you. That's a great story, isn't it? It's when the gospel went to Athens. I'm going to ask our heads about just for a moment. Eyes are closed, and please don't turn me off. We're in good shape time-wise. Just want to ask this morning, and here's what I want to ask you to do. Would you just please be careful to be honest before God today? Just be careful to be honest before God. My first question is this. And just be honest. It doesn't matter what the person next to you does or doesn't do. Do you know that when you die, you are going to heaven? Do you know when you die, you are going to heaven? If you know that for a Bible reason, a truthful Bible reason, would you slip your hand in the air this morning if you know that, just as a testimony of that? Thank you. You may take your hands down. I appreciate your honesty. I wonder this morning if somebody might be here who would say, Pastor, I'm not sure. I didn't raise my hand just then because I was honest. I don't know where I'm going when I die. But if what you told me this morning about Christ, the Lord Jesus, is true, well, I need to be saved. And something in my heart tells me this is true. And I would like to know what it means to be saved. Would you slip your hand in the air so I could just pray for you, not by name. God bless you. Is there another one this morning? I'm not sure I'm saved. In the back, God bless you. Is there another one? I'm not sure I'm saved. God bless you. You may take your hand down. Thank you. Somebody else? Pastor, before you pray, include me. Now, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I only want those that raised a hand to look at me just for a second. If you raised your hand, the most important thing is knowing that you're going to heaven someday. And I want to, if you will, I would love to have somebody take the Bible and show you how to be saved this morning. Right down here. Could I do that? Would you be interested? Come right ahead. Brother Maxwell, Brian, would you come bring your Bible, Brother Brian, and show this man how to be saved right down here. Somebody else, Pastor, include me in this. I need to know. My heart's hungry for this. I know this is the truth. And I don't want to reject it this morning. I don't want to say not now. I don't want to put it off any longer. Would you come? Is God speaking to your heart? Is He? Brother Scott sang that beautiful song, The Love of God. God loved you so much, He sent His only begotten Son to die for you. Wouldn't you come and find out how to be saved this morning? You can still do that in just a moment when we start the music and have the invitation. If you've been saved, never baptized, we can't baptize this morning because of the decorations, but we can get you lined up next Sunday for baptism if you know that you ought to obey the Lord in believer's baptism. So this morning, if you're not saved, I would invite you to come when the music starts and just tell one of these men, I would like to know how to be saved. Or I need to know about how do I get baptized here at Faith Baptist Church. If you want to just pray at the altar this morning, thank God that the truth came to you and that God saved your soul. It's open as well. Father in heaven, I pray that the light of the gospel will shine clear in a heart or two this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for sending your Son. Jesus, for coming and dying on the cross for us. Thank you, God, for sending your Son, Jesus, to die for us. We love you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed and no one is moving. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed.